So just a little announcement. We recorded this episode before Luke Perry died. It's an episode about 90210, and we do talk about his health. We don't get into his death because we didn't know, but this episode is kind of a celebration of teen sitcoms. It's a celebration of the kind of heartthrobs that Luke Perry was. So we decided to go ahead and play it anyway. And we're releasing this with the utmost respect for his loved ones and those affected by his passing. Welcome to Dirtcast. I'm your co-host, Madeline Davies.
I'm your other co-host, Megan Reynolds.
We, two women in our 30s, are both playing high school sophomores today as we look back in time to a little show called 90210.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Yes, that is the full name.
The full name.
We don't have a guest today.
No.
It's just going to be an intense one-on-one. Mano-y-mano.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
Discussion about the history of 90210. We're going to talk a little bit about the reboot.
Yeah.
But also, like, we don't know what that's going to be yet.
No.
Our thoughts and prayers are with Luke Perry.
Yes.
Before we get into
it. Yes, dear.
What's the scoop?
The scoop is I have learned recently that I cannot be trusted with a candle.
What happened?
Nothing major happened, but last week I left my house, and I left my house later than I normally do because I usually get into work at our start time, which is 8:30 a.m. I left the house at like 10 or 11, and when I'm getting ready for work, I like to burn a candle because it's nice. Usually, I'm very good about blowing out the candle, but I think because I was leaving my house later for work, I was not as good about blowing out the candle, so I definitely left the house, and then one stop away from where I was going, realized that the candle was active still. No one else was coming home, so I had to call the super who, like, walked through my entire apartment because he couldn't figure out where my room was. And then he had to blow the candle out for me, which was great because it was on a bookshelf, which is a very safe place to put a candle.
And yeah, just surrounded by paper.
Yeah. And then this morning, I left my wallet at my apartment, so I luckily remembered before the train came, so I, like, left, went back to my house, and a candle that was on my desk, and I put it specifically on my desk so I could, like, look at it and blow it out and be like, I've blown this out. That candle was also active, so I think I am not allowed to burn candles anymore.
That's, like, a big thing is, like, when you change your routine is, like, when,
that's,
like—
That's all it takes.
The examples, like, I know that there's been research in is, like, too sad for me to talk about.
Sure.
And will, like, bring down the entire podcast.
Okay.
But it's basically just, like, yeah, like, if people, like, switch up their usual thing—
Literally anything.
It's, like, much easier to let things slip
chaos.
Through. Yeah.
So I can't use, at the ripe old age of 36, I cannot use candles anymore.
Can I have all of your expensive candles?
You can have a couple of them.
Yes.
Not all of them. There's
all
a couple
them.
That I like.
Give them all to me.
That's my update, is that I am learning just how much of an idiot I am later in life, which is nice.
Sure.
How are you?
Doing okay.
Oh, good.
I shoveled my front walk, which made me feel like a very—
Like a citizen.
Yeah, like an Andrea, you know, an old.
An old.
And then, I don't know, I got, my boyfriend went to the Travis Scott concert last night.
Oh, boy.
And I got a text from him that just said, I got punched in the face.
What?
And then the follow-up said, I feel so alive.
Who punched him in the face?
A, like, teen.
For why?
It was like an accident because he was in the mosh pit.
Oh, naturally. Obviously, where he belongs.
Yeah, where he belongs, in
where
the pit.
In the pit, where he should be.
Oh, and it was just God. Like, so, he came home and he was just like, soaked with sweat, with, like, teen sweat.
Oh, God. Like teen flop sweat.
But one thing I kind of do love is that I feel like this is, like, the new punk rock in a way.
Yeah.
Like, these teens are fucking wild.
I cannot believe he got punched in the, like, some kid, like, windmilling.
Yeah, I think he did this, it was just a kid being a dumb, you know.
Just, like.
I mean, I was going to say it's a kid being a dummy, but, like, yeah. He was in the mosh pit, so.
I mean, again, he's an adult man.
But he, like, showed me a video of, like, there's, like, a roller coaster that, yeah. like, Travis Scott, like, picks to. Of, like, the audience, like, the biggest savages in the audience. And I'm like, that sounds like such a liability. They go in this roller coaster cart with Travis Scott.
What?
As it, like.
Like, on the stage, like,
yeah,
on the set?
Yeah, on the stage. Yeah, on the set. And then.
Oh, my God.
Like, these kids are just, like, like, in this cart. Like, clearly just, like, having the best time of their lives.
I
but also just, like.
Imagine.
I'm just like, that seems like such a liability.
I would never. I can't. I'm just two randos and Travis Scott on a roller coaster on stage at, was it at Barclays?
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure that they really test it and that type of thing.
One hopes. You know what? I think we should get into the dirtiest dirt.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I love dirt.
Oh boy, a lot of dirt on the docket, the dirt docket. Let's talk about Tristan Thompson and Chloe and Jordan Woods. Jordan went on Jada Pinkett Smith's Red Table Talk, which is a weird talk show sort of thing that she
Facebook,
does.
Yeah, it's a Facebook talk show.
Yeah, it's a Facebook talk show to tell her side of the story, I guess, effectively breaking her silence, although I feel like she wasn't silent. She wasn't, like,
no,
terrifically silent.
It was a pretty short silence.
Yeah, her silence was not that long.
I'm not here to play the victim.
Right.
I'm here to take responsibility.
The interview was very sympathetic. Jada was very clearly on her side.
I would say that Jada's just smart at playing sympathetic.
Interesting.
In general.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, friends with the Kardashians, isn't she?
Yeah, and she laid out, actually, in the intro, before the interview portion, Jada laid out very clearly, like, the relationship between Jordan's family and the Kardashians and the way that they're all, like, intertwined. So Jordan said, she said that Tristan kissed her.
She said she spent the night.
Yeah.
But they didn't have, like, sex.
Right.
And then as she was leaving,
the
he
next
tried
morning,
to kiss her.
That's right.
She passed.
Right.
Okay. It seems like that's, like, very unlikely that that is what happened.
Right.
Considering that, like, I don't know, everything Mariah talked to us about in the last episode.
Right.
If you want to hear more, go back.
Go back.
Go back and listen to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of seems like they've, like, been at it for a minute. And I think it was known, honestly.
I
think she just got sloppy. They got sloppy.
The
and, like,
whole enterprise.
Jeffree Star, who is.
Jeffree Star got involved?
Jeffree Star is involved.
Jesus fucking Christ.
The makeup artist, like, not great.
YouTube.
Not exemplary human being.
Disgusting YouTube personality who looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Is a neighbor of Chloe and Tristan.
Ew.
And was
love
like,
this.
Was like, all of these people are fake. Like, everyone in Calabasas knew that Jordan and Tristan have been at it for a long time.
Dang. Thank you, Jeffree Star.
Yeah.
Coming to the table with.
I mean, like, truly a messy bitch who lives for drama. But
Jeffree,
like,
Star, yes, yeah. 100%.
But it is just, like, no one is just, like, being upfront.
Everyone is being very cagey about this. Although I did leave the Red Table Talk feeling sympathy for Jordan.
Yeah, she did a great job.
She did do a good job. She was very professional. Chloe, shortly after the Red Table Talk aired.
During.
Oh, my God, it was during.
Which
I'm
means
sorry.
She was, like, watching.
She was watching and live tweeting. She was tweeting through her feelings. She said, like, Jordan, like, broke up her family.
Yeah.
And then she clarified later that it wasn't Jordan who broke up her family. It was Tristan and his behavior.
It was, like, a thing where she was just, like, clearly, like, just for the record, you are the reason my family broke up.
Right.
And then everybody at Twitter, like, came for her.
Right.
And was just like, how many couples have you broken up, first of all?
Sure, sure.
Like, you and your family. And also,
right.
like, Tristan is the one
Tristan's
who
the issue
had
here.
Loyalty to you. And, like,
right.
not that Jordan didn't. Then, like, clearly Chloe was like, I think she thought it was going to be like, yes, queen.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and
but everybody was like, like, you had a baby with, like, someone you know is a serial cheater.
Sure.
And, like,
sure. I mean.
But then she was like,
that's
no,
right.
to be clear, Tristan is the reason but he's the father of my child. So, I can't go into this. And, like, Jordan was, like, a sister to me, and I can't believe she did it.
I mean, this entire family needs to, like, take a moment behind closed doors and just, like, get everybody's story straight. If you're going to continue living in the public eye, which you very clearly are, the Kardashians are going to be on television, I think, until we die.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be present in our lives for,
like,
sure.
Forever. Like, we're going to know what Kim Kardashian looks like when she's, like, 75.
Which is just like Chris.
Which is just like Chris, exactly. Here's some more Kardashian news.
Look.
Yeah.
If you're doing this, if we're here, we're in good company.
We are.
Everybody listening to this podcast
gives a shit.
Knows that this is, like, just
this is coming.
A fun escape from the
drudgery.
The daily drudgery. So let's just say, like, it's Kylie news.
Kylie time. TMZ says that Travis Scott flew home to Kylie Jenner. He is on tour. After she discovered he was cheating, he says that it didn't happen. Lord have mercy.
He was like, he canceled the show in Buffalo.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah. His thing is that he was like, I was really sick.
Okay.
And then it's
something
like—
Something is going around. There's
it's true.
Everyone's got bronchitis. So.
But then TMZ was like, no, Kylie thought she discovered something and he was like flying home to do damage control. I just like, again, never in my life did I think I would say this, but like, let's give Kylie a break.
Kylie could use a minute, I think.
She's like just like suffered this trauma with her best friend.
Yeah. And now the fucking father of her child is like, yeah, Kylie needs a break.
And like, she doesn't like being in the public eye. Yeah. Just let her like become like more of a recluse.
I mean, I think she should just continue to retreat into her like very clean, like cavernous house with her child. And I do feel bad. Kylie didn't want this from the from the jump. And she was on the show because her family was on the show. And it's been like her whole life. The one I feel the worst for, I think.
Yeah.
It changes every day. But sorry, Kylie. Sorry that everyone is like this. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sure you're also sorry that everyone's like this, but I would like to extend my sympathies to you because this sounds like it fucking sucks. I will close out the Dirtiest Dirt with a disgusting thing that I saw first thing this morning.
Who could tell what Megan's contribution to this doc is?
Shut up.
Who could tell what her contribution to this episode is? I don't know. Megan, continue.
My boyfriend, Pete Davidson, has been spotted making out with, he's been spotted with Kate Beckinsale for a minute now. The most recent update on their dalliance is that they were at a hockey game, rinkside, as it were, and they were making out. That is not necessarily the news. The news to me is the photographer that captured this moment captured the very moment that, like, Pete Davidson's tongue entered Kate Beckinsale's mouth. It is hard.
You were like, I wish it was my mouth.
I definitely did not say that. I felt ill. Thank you.
You're still thinking about it.
I'm only thinking about it because I had to edit a blog about it this morning. It's very gross. They seem happy, though. So you know what? Good for them.
I just want to go on a record and say I love Kate Beckinsale.
Mm-hmm.
Love that bitch since Cold Comfort Farm.
Oh, wow. Throwback.
And so just want to say, she's great.
She's great. And she probably shouldn't be doing this. But there is one photo of her snapped like after they were leaving the hockey game. And she has a smile on her face like a fucking, like the cat. What is the phrase? The cat that ate the canary?
The cat that got the cream.
Yeah. That is the look on her face of a woman who is a cat who got fucking, I don't know, Davidson's like 10-inch dick. I don't. Speculation here.
I mean, she is so beautiful. Like, just do whatever you want, Kate.
I mean, good for her at 40, I think, 40-something, 45, 25. There's a 20-year age difference between them.
But she, like, looks better than he does.
She does, but, like, good for her for fucking catching some young tail. I don't know. She could catch any amount of young tail that she desired, and this just, I guess, this is working for her at the moment.
Also, her, like, relationship with Michael Sheen, I feel like, is such a good example of, like, a broken-up couple co-parenting happily.
Ah, yes. That's true. I forgot she has a child.
And, like, they're still, like, really good friends.
Yeah. I'm sure this Pete Davidson thing is really helping that out.
I don't think he cares. I don't think
he probably doesn't
because they've been broken up forever.
Yeah,
like
good point.
And like I remember, like, when he was dating Sarah Silverman, which I think he still is, like, on and off, like, people kept trying to, like, pit Sarah Silverman against Kate Beckinsale. And, like, both of them were like, you're all idiots. Like, we actually really like each other.
Okay. Okay. I mean, great. They're doing it. Someone's doing something. It looks like those two people are Frenching at a hockey game.
I also was thinking about this as another good example of a good co-parenting.
Yes.
To say it, Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin.
Conscious uncoupling does work, I guess.
I saw she hosted a celebrity stacked birthday bash for him.
Wow. That's very mature.
And posted like a very cute picture of the two of them, like just being like happy and nice.
That's so nice. Maybe, again, conscious uncoupling. Maybe it does work.
Perhaps.
Maybe it's better than acrimonious divorce.
Probably.
I mean, most things are better than acrimonious divorce, just FYI. Okay.
I would say my parents' divorce was acrimonious, but they did stay living three houses apart for the kids.
That's not, my parents' divorce was also acrimonious, and then they put an entire country
between them,
and it has remained thus to this day.
Aww.
That's been nice for me as a child and an adult. Anywho. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that we talked about early 90s trauma.
Oh, yes. Good.
Because we're about to talk about early 90s drama.
Wow, what a transition.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're talking about 90210.
We are.
The peg, I'll say, is that they are doing a reboot. They've announced its second reboot.
I missed the first reboot.
It was in like late aughts.
Okay. Okay. This sounds vaguely familiar to me now. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like Sinead Grimes.
Anna Lynn McCord
or something like that.
Anna Lynn McCord.
And then what's his name from The Wire? Michael from The Wire.
Shit, fuck. Yes, I remember now. I watched 2 to 3 episodes of that, but it was very bad, so I stopped watching it.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know. It didn't have what it needs.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
I found something when I was like researching this. Mm-hmm. Something I had no idea, and it thrilled me to my core.
Okay.
So 902 happened because Aaron Spelling, the executive producer and like television titan.
Yes.
He did Dynasty. He did The Love Boat. He did so many different shows.
Yeah.
He wanted to buy the U.S. rights to Degrassi.
What? Really?
He wanted to, like, make Degrassi, like, into, like, a U.S. show.
Oh, my God.
But, like, the Degrassi showrunners are like,
fuck no. Like, get out of here.
Our show is actually supposed to, like, teach kids.
It's, like, wholesome kind of. Oh, my God. What a world that would have been. An Aaron Spelling U.S. Degrassi. I would have loved that.
But you can kind of see it in the show itself, where it's, like, in 90210. But so, the person who created it is Darren Star, which I never realized.
I also didn't realize that. Who's also the creator of Sex and the City.
And Melrose Place.
And Melrose Place, a show that I'm culturally aware of, but did not watch.
Did you watch 90210?
I watched 90210, obviously, in reruns. Like, there was some channel that used to play it, like, for, like, a four-hour block during the day. And I have very specific memories of watching it while, like, at my best friend's house.
I think I was, like, a little bit young.
I was definitely also, like, a little young for it.
But my parents watched it, and my parents were, like, my mom and stepdad watched it, and they were, like, not good at,
like, censoring, like, keeping you from shit you shouldn't be watching.
Yeah. So, like, I, like, remember, like, flashes of it. Mm-hmm. And then I also, like, in syndication.
Yeah.
Have seen it.
Right. It has its place.
It's, like, ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous. but it also is like, it's such a time capsule.
Yeah. It's got like a pretty long life. I feel
10
like
years.
Right, 10 years. No, I mean like now still, even after it's ending, like one of the skits on Drag Race was like a 90210 ripoff, which is very funny because I think one of the—
one or like 90210 or something.
Yes, yes. But I think like one or two of the queens that was in the skit was like, I'm 22.
Yeah.
Where's our first class?
Let's ask that old lady over there.
Hi, welcome to West Beverly Johnson High School. I'm Grandria Zucker Woman, and I'm a senior.
A senior what? Were you held back for like 3 decades?
And Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling were guest judges.
They were judges. The judges, yeah. Yes, which was that seems very intimidating to do. To try to pay tribute to this campy, wonderful program. So the rough plot is as follows. There are two newcomers to Beverly Hills. It is Brandon and Brenda Walsh, played by Jason Priestley and Shannon Doherty. They are twins. They hail from Minnesota, and they're starting at Beverly Hills High.
West
Beverly High. Sorry. Fuck. I'm fired. There's Dylan McKay, who is Luke Perry. He was like the bad one, like a leather jacket situation. There's Kelly Taylor, who's Jenny Garth. Also Steve, played by Ian Ziering. Donna Martin, who was played very memorably by Tori Spelling, Aaron Spelling's daughter. David Silver, who I always thought was boring, played by Brian Austin Green. And Andrea Zuckerman, who is 95 years old.
First of all, she's very clear that it's Andrea.
I refuse to acknowledge that. But yes, you're right. She was roughly too old.
She was not roughly too old.
She was extremely too
old. So I like went and looked at how old everybody was when the show premiered. Priestley was 21. Kay. Doherty was 19.
Sure.
Garth was 18.
Close.
Perry was 24. Mm-hmm. Ziering, 26.
Nice.
You could tell.
Yeah, you can.
He looks 40, actually.
He does not. Yeah.
Spelling was 17. Brian Austin Green was 17. And Gabrielle Carteris, who is Andrea Zuckerman, was the oldest at 29, and she was playing a 15-year-old.
The fact that because they were like freshmen and sophomores in
high school. Yeah, she was like a sophomore.
29 years old, playing a sophomore in high school.
I mean, good for her.
I mean, good for her. I agree. I just think it is quite humorous.
Also, like, fun fact, she is now the president of SAG-AFTRA.
Is she really?
Yeah.
I'm glad that's good. She's found a second life after 90210. The age thing, I mean, this is how it is for, I think, like, most teen shows, except for the kids on Degrassi were young.
Really young.
They were, like, close enough to the age that they were supposed to be portraying.
I think most of them were.
Like, the age.
Yeah, like, 14 to 17.
Right. This formula follows, like, Gossip Girl did it. All the other teen shows have done it. Everyone. It wouldn't be a sexy teen TV show if you weren't casting, like, 20 to 24-year-olds to play 16-year-olds who are wearing, like, Louboutins to high school.
I mean, I actually support it. Mm-hmm. I think, well, one, they do it to get around child labor laws.
Yes.
And the other one, I think, is that they do it so, like, as adults, you don't feel weird being like, oh, Dylan's really hot.
That is a really good point. It is nice to protect. Yes.
Also, if you see like a real 15-year-old boy, like that was like actually what was great about Degrassi is like their skin was all horrible.
Yeah, and they're awkward and like gangly and weird places.
Weird, yeah, I don't know.
Right.
So it's like you don't like really want to be like. It's funny to hear like a high school girl being like, "What a babe," and then you look and it's just like a zitty little
like a short, tall, like 15-year-old, and you're just like, uh huh. That's cute for you. So, okay, yeah, it does. It is cool that they at least tried to make it so that no one was a perv.
That's just my opinion.
I mean, it's a good one. I feel like that holds some water. I just still, Gabrielle Carteris playing a 16-year-old at 29 will never fail to kill me. Dead.
I also have never, like, I don't freak out about my age very much. Mm. I mean, I don't know. I'm 32. It's not like I'm like... at an age where I should be freaking out.
Right.
But realizing that I'm older than she was when she was playing a 15-year-old, like, made me feel old.
It just creates a nice moment of reflection.
I'm older than Andrea in 1990.
Yeah, just a nice brief moment of reflection.
Well, Brian Austin Green, it's kind of interesting because he changes extremely throughout the show physically. He grows up like a pipsqueak mm-hmm. in the first. He's really, really gangly. He's really skinny.
Right.
And then he just, like, packed on a ton of muscle.
Ew.
And now has a baby with Megan Fox.
I forgot about that. I'm glad they're still making money because the show's still in syndication, right?
I assume. I mean, and also it's, like, globally famous.
Yeah. So that's the basic premise. This is a show about teens for, like, adults, which I think is important to know, to clarify.
It was a nighttime soap.
Yeah. Because, like, I feel like Gossip Girl and the other shows that sort of came in its wake were not necessarily intended for adults. They were intended for teens, even though they were on nighttime.
I think they all are kind of for the same audience.
Okay.
You know, it's like, I think that they'll take the teens. I think it's like 18 to 24, too, that whole demo.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why they, like, make the parents have plot lines.
That's true. So that's older people who might be watching, like, give a shit.
Yeah. Who do you identify with the most and who's your favorite?
Oh, God. Honestly, if we're thinking, like, high school me.
Megan the whole.
Megan the whole. Probably definitely not Brenda. Definitely not Kelly. I'm not as stupid as Donna. So I guess that leaves me with Andrea or the waitress at the Peach Pit or like any of the Peach Pit employees. Those are my two. It's like it's a toss up between the two. the proprietor of the Peach Pit. No, those are my answers. What about you?
I don't think I was smart enough or like, I mean, I'm probably like, and Andrea, and that I am like a perfectionist and I'm like, like I get really like caught up in the details. Mm-hmm. But like my favorite is Dylan.
Yeah. I mean, duh.
I don't like live in a hotel with an absentee dad.
That's the dream for everyone, really, I think.
The outfits 100%.
Yeah.
Are so wild. I watched probably 10 episodes yesterday. Mm-hmm. And in one of them, it's season one, Dylan is wearing a overalls with the one with the one strap on clip.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is like so funny to think like, ooh, the bad boy, you know?
Yeah. The bad boy in overalls.
Yeah, and just like the things they wear. Like, why does Brenda dress like a businesswoman to go to school? She has a party and she wears a pantsuit. Yeah.
I mean, style back then was crazy in a very specific way. Everyone on TV in the 90s looked like they were like 7 years older than they actually were just because of like
hair and
pantsuits and whatever. And also maybe they were actually 7 years older than they were supposed to be. So that kind of helps as well. The thing that I do remember and like about the show is that all of the rumors that we heard that eventually ended up being true about Shannon Doherty being like a huge pain in the ass to work with.
Yeah, everybody.
No one liked her.
Tori Spelling asked her dad to write her out of the show.
Tori Spelling,
what she says she did.
What a special creature Tori Spelling is.
She said it on the show Celebrity Lie Detector. So
what the hell is Celebrity Lie? I mean, it's what it sounds like.
I think it is one of those shows that everything you need to know is in the title.
I would watch half an episode of Celebrity Lie Detector, especially just the Tori Spelling one. Shannon Doherty left after 4 seasons. She left because she was apparently just a huge pain in the ass to work with. How do they write her off the show?
She went to college somewhere.
Oh, she went to college. That's right. Okay.
But also, like, she and Jenny Garth, like, got into, like, a physical fight.
Oh, my God.
And, the male cast had to, like, split them up.
Can you imagine scrapping with Shannon Doherty?
She would pull.
Kill me. She would murder me. It's fine. Because I can't imagine Jenny Garth, like, fighting anybody.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. But they, like, hated each other.
I feel like she was also a pain in the ass in Charmed.
Yeah, she got kicked off
She got kicked off of Charmed. They replaced her with, what's her face?
Rose McGowan.
Or Rose McGowan, not Rose Byrne. Imagine a different world.
One of my favorite anecdotes about Shannon Doherty is how she didn't understand that Heathers was a comedy.
What?
Because she, like, came from, like, a really conservative background. And so she just, like, while on the set, like, just never got it.
What?
And was, like, always
the
just very confused.
She didn't think to ask anyone?
Well, I mean, I don't think you, like, ask, is this a comedy, you know?
I don't know. I feel like if you're that confused and everyone else seems to be, like, taking if you are the outlier in the way you're like reacting to like how things are happening, I would think you would like find a trusted advisor and be like, hello.
Well, I mean, she was like what, like 14 or 15 when they made it?
That's true. She was pretty young.
And then like her mom, I think, was like a real like momager.
Yeah.
And like, again, like very conservative. They really wanted her to be the main role and were like upset that she wasn't. Winona is Veronica.
That is hard. That is hard for her.
There's a really good oral history. Everyone should just Google Heather's oral history because it's a delight.
When Doherty left, she was replaced by Tiffany Amber Thiessen. How do you pronounce her last name?
Thiessen.
Thiessen. But who played a character named Valerie Malone, who's a cousin of the Walshes.
Another thing I would like to say about this show.
Yes.
I hate the Walsh parents. Hate them. One, they're full of shit. Two, they very much are into, like, patriarchal values.
And yes, Jim and Cindy.
Anytime, like, anytime Brandon does something, they're just like, you're so smart, Brandon. And then anytime Brenda does anything, they're like, oh, you're here? Also, like, you can't do that.
Oh, my God.
It's, like, very, very, very weird. And they're, like, supposed to be, like, the good parents. But I'm like, you guys are so ineffective.
I'm trying to think of what other parents you could compare them, like, in other shows.
There's Sandy and Kristen Cohen.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were the Kelly Rutherford of Gossip Girl. I don't know what her name was.
I also do not know what her name was. I feel like she was not a great parent. Kelly Rutherford on Gossip Girl.
People really hated Brenda. Fans really hated Brenda.
She was a bitch.
She basically, they like gave her Taylor Momsen disease.
Yeah.
You know, like what they do with any like young girl is like writers. And because it's so often just like male writing rooms.
Right.
Can't think of any way to like develop a young character besides just making them awful.
Yeah.
Or young girl character.
Yeah.
From an older article on Slate, the writer Marissa Meltzer wrote that everything kind of changed for Brenda after she had sex for the first time at the end of season one. One thing she notes in this article is that, like, the they got a lot of complaints from parents about, like, showing a teen girl having sex.
Yeah.
Or not showing, but, like, having a teen girl have sex.
Suggesting, right.
And then she was like, this is what Meltzer writes. She increasingly became the scapegoat in the Walsh family within her group of friends and within the world at large. The I Hate Brenda newsletter, which was published by the editors of the zine Ben Is Dead and featured a Shannon snitch line for readers to call in with gossip on the actress Shannon Doherty, as well as an album with songs like Brenda Can't Dance to This, is now a cult legend. Making the show's female lead the bitchiest character was a bizarre and depressing move for a series that catered to and was mostly enjoyed by adolescent girls. Of course, the downfall of Brenda should be partly attributed to Doherty, who played Brenda with the haughtiness that could only be authentic and who was said to clash with the rest of the cast. Doherty wouldn't leave the cast for another 3 years, but for Brenda, the end of season one was already the beginning of the end.
I mean, what a difference. What a different time it was that people were getting so fucking upset that a female character on television was, like, having sex. They didn't even show the sex. And for people to be that upset about it, it's very clear how different things were. But I still feel in some pockets of the country today.
Oh, yeah. Those, like, moms watch groups or whatever.
Yeah,
so
this would still be an issue. But, yeah, that is a good point that it is shitty and kind of fucked up to make Brenda be such a terrible person. Although, if she was, I mean, if she actually was being, I don't know, not to say that she deserves whatever treatment she got, but it is interesting that she was also, like, actually terrible off camera as well.
Yeah.
As on camera. They probably could have done a lot more with her character instead of just giving her the, like, shit edit.
She came back for the 2008 reboot.
Oh, my God.
Her and Jenny Garth are now friends.
I'm glad that time managed to heal the rift between them for the fucking 2008 reboot and perhaps a need for money.
This is the most 2008 thing, is that Jenny Garth played the guidance counselor at West Beverly High.
Oh my God.
And Doherty, who in previous seasons had been referenced as, like, living in London as an actress. Like,
what?
That's what Brenda went on to do.
Oh, my God.
Returned to direct a school production of Spring Awakening.
What the hell? Oh, my God. How long? The reboot was on for maybe, like—
Not long at all. Three seasons?
Three,
two,
if that.
Two, oh, maybe it was just one. I don't know.
It is what gave us Sinead Grimes. It is, like, the only reason I know that Sinead Grimes is a person.
I know who she is because of Degrassi.
Who's she on Degrassi?
She played a girl who was really into being a virgin.
Oh, like later? Like in the later seasons?
No, it was like, I think like Spinner was really into her.
Ah, okay, okay. Ringing a bell, a dim bell. Yeah, the reboot, I watched a couple of episodes of it when it was on, and I remember thinking, no, this will not work. And lo, I was right. It did not work.
Well, there's already so many other versions of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I think my version of 90210 was the OC. Mm. Like, that's the one that I like. Loved, at least for the first few seasons.
I think mine was definitely Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
It was Gossip Girl. I never really got into the OC, but like Gossip Girl. And unfortunately, again, Felicity.
Why unfortunately?
I don't know. Felicity, I feel like most people, like we had two choices at that time, right? It was like Dawson's Creek or Felicity. I think they were on either at the same night or like different nights at the same time. I never really got into Dawson's Creek because I hated Dawson so much. Mm-hmm. Felicity really resonated with me. The sweaters, perhaps.
Yeah.
Who can say? But Gossip Girl, yeah, Gossip Girl was my 90210, but it is nice to know that 90210 is the reason that all of these beautiful shows.
Or Buffy. Buffy was kind of, I think, my actually.
Oh, yeah.
Opinion. Speaking of Luke Perry, he's in the movie.
We should talk briefly about the Peach Pit.
Can I take your order?
Steve?
Look, I work here now. It's no big deal.
I love anything that has like a central location like the Peach Pit.
I also wanted to ask, of all of the shows, like teen shows and that type of thing, central location, what is your favorite?
I did like how in the later episodes of Felicity, when Felicity got that job at Dean and DeLuca, they always ended up at Dean and DeLuca, which was like, looked like a suburban Home Goods.
That's really funny.
Like, it was the size of, like, it was huge and not like any Dean and DeLuca I've ever seen in beautiful New York City. I don't think Gossip Girl had a central one, but I did like how they always, how Blair and her friend, Namiz, met on the steps of the Met. I always thought that was a nice flex.
That's what I was thinking as well. The Met was a good one.
That's nice. Yeah.
I was going to say the Bronze, which is a Buffy thing, but I think the chance of you, like, if you are a regular at the Bronze, you have a 30% chance that you're not going to make it past your teens.
Why? What happens there?
Well, a lot of things happen in Sunnydale.
True.
A lot of vampire attacks.
Isn't it over, like, the pit, a gate to hell or something?
I mean, it's the town is, not the Bronze, though.
The town specifically is set over the gates of hell.
The school in particular.
Wow.
Which, another fun fact, same school as West Beverly High. It is. They use that school so much. It's in She's All That. Yeah, it's the same.
It's a good school.
It's the same place.
It's an excellent school. I would have imagined imagine actually attending that school.
Yeah, weird.
Seems weird and stressful. I'm now perusing a list of people that performed at the Peach Pit after dark, and I'm feeling shocked that any of these people were on this program. Christina Aguilera, Monica, Fergie was in a band called Wild Orchid.
Yeah.
And performed at the Peach Pit. So did... I didn't know this, but I love it. I guess before Maroon 5 used to be called Kara's Flowers.
Yeah, they went through a bunch of iterations.
What the hell?
And they had like a bunch of different sounds. Like they just really just wanted to be famous.
Right. And they just like finally found the thing that was actually going to do it.
Yeah. Well,
there is a very interesting photograph of, this is from a BuzzFeed list, this is a very interesting photograph of Adam Levine. Not looking anything like he does now.
He looks like season one David Silver.
The flaming lips, apparently. What the fuck?
That
the
was
cramps?
Like a famous, but that was like, that episode was like a big deal, the flaming lips one. Because they did that song like, she uses Vaseline.
Yes. Okay.
Where's the mystery act?
Funny you should ask. They're backstage and ready to go. Please help me welcome the cool, the crazy, the fabulous flaming lips.
Fucking the Cardigans, have not thought about them since Love Fool. Jade. Wow. That's a pretty impressive lineup for a teen show of this nature. Is there anything like this now with that sort of platform?
Yeah, like the OC was like that too, where it's like a lot of bands played like at the Bait Shack.
Yeah. But I think Gossip Girl occasionally had like a famous-ish person.
I think they all kind of do it now, but like it's copying. It's like, essentially copying the model built by Peach Pit After Dark.
I mean, clearly an unassailable model.
Amy Mann is on an episode of Buffy, which is really funny. And she says, she has a line, she goes, I hate touring these vampire towns.
Oh my God. That is amazing. I did not realize the show was on from 90 to 2000. That's an insane document.
It really like, for real, captured a decade. And I think some people like came and went. Mm-hmm. Even just look on Wikipedia, it'll show you like who was on. Like I think Ian Ziering was just like, no, I need it. I need it. Please don't make me go.
I mean, oh God, what is he doing these days?
Well, that brings us to something you would like to talk about.
It's true. So the first reboot happened in 2008, as we've discussed. It was not good. This second reboot is, I think, if it's well done, I think it will be successful because it is simply, it's tapping into obviously the whole nostalgia bullshit, but doing it in a way that I think is smarter. So it's going to be a Beverly Hills 90210 reboot, but it's not going to be like the Full House reboot or like the Roseanne one, in which it's just the same characters like thrown back in as their characters. This is from Variety. It says, having gone their separate ways since the original series ended 19 years ago, Jason, Jenny, Ian, Gabrielle, Brian, and Tori reunite when one of them suggests it's time to get a Beverly Hills 90210 reboot up and running. But getting it going may make for more drama than the reboot itself.
Ooh.
I think that is a brilliant idea.
Yeah. I mean, if they did it in like a kind of a campy—
if it's a little tongue-in-cheek, little arch, I think that could be really good because I have literally no interest in seeing what these people are doing like as their characters. But I do have a vested interest in watching them play like heightened versions of themselves on a television show about the making of the only thing that made them famous.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really interesting. And I don't understand why more reboots don't do something like this.
A couple years ago, Old Navy did that commercial where they like reunited the cast. They like were doing that whole like flashback thing and they did like a Backstreet Boys one. They did a 90210.
The Old Navy $12 and under back to school special starring Jason Priestley.
Class, meet Sarah. She's new.
Guys, she's not new.
But she looked new thanks to the Old Navy $12 and under sale.
That was the closest to like a full reunion up until whenever this thing comes out.
And we love just to like jerk our little nostalgia dicks.
It's true. I mean, everyone is tired, I guess, of having new ideas. So they must root through the past to see how they can reshape their old ones into something workable. But I think that this is actually the answer.
Yeah, we'll see.
It could be. I mean, it could also be, like, terrible. This feels, like, heavily dependent on, like, people's enthusiasm levels.
Also, like, I know she's been through some very tough times, mm-hmm. but, like, isn't Shannen Doherty still awful?
I think so. I mean, I think the awfulness, like, has not changed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if she's done anything to, like, try to make herself unawful.
She had cancer.
She didn't have cancer, but I mean, cancer, yes, but having cancer and then being okay from after the cancer doesn't necessarily,
for sure.
I don't think that has like, for some people, maybe it like scares them into like a new way of being.
One of my favorite moments of any reality TV show ever was on The Simple Life, where they're playing like pop culture Trivial Pursuit.
Oh my God.
With Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie are with the family they've been placed with.
Yes.
And like, it's a question about Shannen Doherty and Paris Hilton just says, I hate that cunt. And it's just funny because it's like, everybody is like, ah! But it's like, she does actually know her.
I mean, Shannen Doherty really came out the gate very strong by being such a freaking bitch at 90210. And that has just been the role that she has played from like here on out. What has she done after 90210? She did Charmed.
Yeah, I think Charmed kind of ruined things a little bit for her.
Like, after her
reputation-wise.
Yeah.
Do you find any of the men on 90210 attractive?
That's a great question.
Probably
the answer is just Dylan, but I'd like to—
I think that's my only answer, too.
To consult a photo of the cast just to see what my thoughts are. No. Wow. I feel very fucked up looking at this photo. Unfortunately, it has to be Dylan is the answer.
Yeah, I think that's everybody's answer.
Dylan is the answer. Not Ian Ziering, not Brian Austin Green. No, it's Dylan. From this photo that I'm looking at of the season one cast, it is so evident that Andrea is like 95 years old in comparison.
I love it. I love it. It's so funny.
Good that she got the work.
And it's really good for your career if you can get cast as a teen because, like, it's just, like, more longevity, basically.
That's true. Because who is the—Bianca Lawson.
Yeah.
Has been cast—she's, like, probably close to 40.
Yeah.
And she's been cast as a teen for, like, the majority of her career.
It's crazy.
Like, she was playing a teen. She was a teen in—was she in Buffy?
Yeah.
She was a teen in
Buffy. She was Kendra.
Okay.
A slightly racist character man.
Oh, she had no.
Oh, she was another Slayer seat.
Oh, boy.
Praise job.
Oh, my fucking God. That poor woman. Well, now Tina Knowles is her stepmom, so she's doing fine.
Oh, yeah.
But she's been a teen like her entire career.
Yeah, she was in Save the Last Dance.
That's what I was thinking of. She was in Save the Last Dance. She was in Buffy. She's been
Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, my God. She was in Pretty Little Liars. Yeah, I think you're right. If you can play a teen at 29 play it.
She had 10 years that she got to do that.
That's a blessing. The show ended. It's fucked up to think the show ended and she was 40.
Yeah.
And that she was still like
playing a 25 year old.
That's nice. That's something to aspire to somehow.
Yeah.
I think it's too late for me, but
you never know.
That's true. Life is full of surprises, as they say.
I have one pressing thing.
What is it?
Why did they write the first season like Brenda and Brendan were fucking?
Oh, my God.
They flirt so much. I find, like, close male-female sibling relationships on TV to always be
weird.
They're
always fucked up. It's true.
But they're always so touchy.
That's disgusting.
And, like, hanging out in each other's rooms. And maybe it's just that I have my brother's so much older than me that I, like, don't really know how, like, peer siblings relate.
I mean, they're supposed to be twins, right? And they're so the same.
So already weird.
Right.
In, like, one of the first episodes, Brandon, like, writes something about, like, what it's like to be a new transfer student to West Beverly High. And he, like, uses this whole surfing analogy about the green room, which is, like, what it feels like to be inside a perfect wave.
Uh-huh.
Again, I just watched it yesterday.
Yes. fresh in the brain.
But, like, he writes this really corny essay about it, and Brenda reads it out loud, and she's like, this is amazing. And she was like, hey, but always make sure that I can still get in your green room. And I was like, that means but.
Ew! I don't—
All the siblings I know spent, like, male-female siblings just, like, spent most of the time just, like, screaming at each other.
Yeah, and, like, being like, get out of my room.
Yeah,
like,
be normal and hate each other.
Yeah, like, that would have been, like, don't, like, please do not inject, like, a frisson of, like, sexual tension.
It's just so weird.
It does not need to be there when you guys are ostensibly related on television. That's disgusting. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you. Sorry, it was just really
gnawing at me like
a little rat.
It was weighing heavy on your spirit, and you needed to, you needed to get it out.
I feel unburdened.
I'm glad. I'm happy for you. That's good.
Well, we've aged a decade.
I feel 95 years old, much like Andrea Zuckerman.
Thank you so much for listening to Dirtcast. This episode was mixed by Corey Schreppel. Madana Mofidi is our executive director of audio. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. Want to send us a tip or just let us know what you think? Hit us up at dirtcast@jezebel.com or follow us on Twitter @dirtcastpod. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.